Hello? Yeah, idiot. Hello? Did you hear me? No? Is this off? It's off. Oh, I'll shout. I'll talk loudly just now until we solve the problem. Oh! Good morning, everyone. No. Okay, I'll just welcome everyone this morning, and then I think Jonathan's coming to the rescue. It is, the green light's on. Anyway, I can welcome you in a loud voice. The only thing I have to remind you of is the gift aid that some of you would do. Oh, hello? No, that's not working. Oh, it's on? No. No, it's none of them are. It's on, it's green. Oh. Is it on now? No, it was on. It is on now, but it's not working. Sorry. Anyway, welcome to everyone this morning. Maybe it's the cold weather coming back that's put everything off. It's probably just a little plug that needs sorted. Anyway, just welcome everyone, especially anyone who's worshipping for the first time, visitors. Everybody is welcome today. The one thing I need to remind you of is the gift aid. We've reached the limit of the gift aid that Jane Robson can claim without a specific name. There's a certain amount each organisation can claim. So she asks that anybody who gives regularly registers with her for gift aid so she knows when they give, it goes against their name. If you don't understand it, the best thing to do, if you do regular giving, you will already be on that system. But we're now getting too much in donations through the machine and things, and we don't know who's giving. And therefore, the gift aid can't be specifically allocated to them. If it doesn't make sense, speak to Jane Robson. I think that's the best I can offer. Or come and talk to me later, and I'll try and explain it to you. But now I want to welcome John Nichols, who's going to lead our worship this morning. We're very pleased to have you with us, John.
Good morning. It's nice to be here. If the mics are playing up, I seem to be cursed because I was out at Langley and their mics packed up as well. So if you can't hear me, just jump up and down and wave your arms and I'll talk a bit louder. But hopefully everything will go according to plan. Good morning and welcome to worship at Paignton Methodist Church, or Poynton Methodist Church, sorry. Our call to worship, let us pray. Come to God, who in Christ welcomes you. Bring to God all you are and long to be. Entrust to God your burdens, hopes, and fears. Let us worship God. Amen. Our opening hymn is from Singing the Faith, number 25. God is here as we his people. church. Come to our prayers of adoration and confession. Let us pray. Creator God, out of chaos you brought forth stability, giving form to the world. Out of darkness you brought forth light. You spoke, and the mighty oceans were formed, full of fish for people to harvest. Out of the oceans you brought forth dry land, and on that land you planted food and animals for humankind to farm and hunt. You created the seasons so that everything had its time and place for everything under heaven. You created wind and rain to feed the crops so that food will be produced for all people. In your world you placed men and women that they might be stewards of your world and live in harmony with your creations and with you. We have come to acknowledge your power and that in the palm of your hand you hold the vastness of the universe with its millions of stars and planets. We know that you are all-powerful, but to you we are all your children, each with our hopes, dreams, and ambitions, and that you know us individually by name. We ask that we may feel your presence here, talking with us each today, that we might leave your house with our spirits lifted and raised and our hearts lighter because we have met with you, who is our God and our Saviour. We ask all these things through your name. Amen. We come to our prayer of confession. When I say, in your mercy, can you respond, forgive us? Loving God, we confess the time when we did not abide in your love, when we strayed from the path of faith and ran after other gods. In your mercy, forgive us. Loving God, we confess the times when we did not abide in your love, when we have been less than loving and hurt those around us. In your mercy, forgive us. Loving God, we confess the times when we did not abide in your love, when we have not held ourselves accountable to you and measured our worth by our own achievements rather than yours. In your mercy, forgive us. Make your love real to us once again. Shape us and remake us in your image, that we may feel your words of grace. Your sins are forgiven, applying to us, and our hearts lighter having talked with you. Amen. In preparation for our Bible readings, we now sing our next hymn from Singing the Faith, number 153. Break thou the bread of life, O Lord, to me. I'd like to say thank you to all those that have made me feel welcome here, to the organist as well, who's a maestro as usual, to the stewards, for you for turning up rather than me talking to a blank wall. But thank you for all those taking part. Sir, over to you. And the lady as well. Don't want to accuse of being sexist.
First reading is from Genesis, chapter 2, reading verses 15 and 17. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Genesis chapter 3, the disobedience of man. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves.
The second reading is from John chapter 7, Jesus meets Nicodemus. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things. Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Amen.
Thank you very much. In preparation for our prayers of intercession, we sing our next hymn, number 519. "Father, I place into your hands the things I cannot do. Father, I place into your hands the times that I've been through. Father, I place into your hands the way that I should go. For I know I always can trust you." Number 519. We come to our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. O Lord, we bring before you our concerns for your suffering world. We pray for all places where violence is the norm, whether personal or national. We think especially of Ukraine and the Yemen, where violence is taking place on a daily basis. We pray for victims of discrimination of any sort. All people are your children and should be treated as though they were our brother and sister. We pray for all who are sick, either in hospital or at home, for all who are in pain while waiting for an operation, for all who are waiting for test results, and for all who are recovering. And we pray especially for Marilyn and David, for Hilary C and Hilary P, Carol and Joy, members of this church family. We pray for all who had suffered bereavement and are coming to terms with their loss. We pray for all individuals and organisations who seek to help the underprivileged, regardless of their ethnicity. For all people of this church family and our friends who are absent for whatever reason. Finally, O Lord, we pray for ourselves that we might leave this place with our hearts feeling lighter, having met with you who is our friend and our Redeemer. And in silence, we bring our personal prayers to you now. To the lost, Christ shows his face. To the unloved, he gives his embrace. To those who cry out in pain or disgrace, Jesus Christ makes with his friends a touching place. Amen. We will now say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is 556, Just As I Am. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord. Amen. I'd like one volunteer. It's nothing nasty. It's nothing, and you won't hurt yourself. It's just one volunteer to see if they can do this. There we are. One volunteer, one pen, mm-hmm. and the challenge is to join those nine dots up with four straight lines. But once your pen touches the paper, you can't take it off until you've done it. The floor is yours.
Do
it is possible.
Does anyone else know how to do it?
Outside the box.
You've got the answer.
Four straight lines. I can only do eight. I don't know how to do the last one. And that's the one that's missing. Sorry.
Right. Did anyone, you say you know the answer?
Yeah, but
do you want to come and do it then? I tell you, I learnt this when I was on a training course at work some 20 odd years ago.
Can I turn it off and start again?
Here's one I prepared earlier.
All right, it's just distracting to try and draw it out, especially when you're very, very unintelligent.
There we are.
Oops. Yeah, I saw it when I was about 15 as well. I know you have to go outside the box, so
I'd turn the pen round if I were you. Correct. Correct. Yeah, go on. Go on, keep going. Keep going.
I've got to get the middle one.
Yeah, keep going.
Thank you.
That's it. Thank you, sir.
I didn't expect to come and have to think.
That was, as I said, something I learnt when I was on a training course some 20 or 30 odd years ago when I worked for the gas board. And no one could do it then. Our New Testament reading this morning concerned the meeting between Nicodemus and Jesus. The meeting took place at night as Nicodemus was frightened of being seen talking to Jesus. Nicodemus was a pillar of society and he couldn't be seen by others talking to someone they considered a rebel and against their teachings. His teachings were contrary to everything that they believed in. The Pharisees' point of influence was the synagogue, but they were used to the banter of exchanging views and splitting hairs. They'd been used to debating the laws that had been handed down to Moses on Mount Sinai, trying to expand on them and making them, explaining them to the ordinary people. He would have been conservative in his views, not the sort of person who would have welcomed a drastic change to his way of life. But when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he acknowledged that he came from God. So when Jesus said to him in verse 3 of our reading, "You must be born again," he was totally bemused. He couldn't understand it. How can a person be born twice? You can't go back inside your mother and come out again. They tried, the Pharisees, to study and interpret the law to make it easier for people to live. But they made it difficult because they were splitting hairs, such as when is work not work, and where do you draw the line? On a Sabbath day, Jesus was teaching in a synagogue, and in the congregation was a woman who had been infected by a disease for 18 years and couldn't stand upright. Jesus called her out and said to her, "Woman, you are cured." And he stretched out his hand and touched the woman, and she was able to stand up. The Pharisees were indignant that he should do such a thing, especially in a synagogue and on their Sabbath, when people were not allowed to work. So Jesus' reply, "Is it good to do evil on the Sabbath or to do good?" The Pharisees couldn't answer him, but I expect there were a lot of red faces from the embarrassment. On another Sabbath day, Jesus and his disciples were walking beside a field of corn. Some of the disciples were hungry, so they plucked some ears of corn and ground them in their hand, and then met them. The Pharisees had a go at Jesus because they were following him to try and get evidence for a court case. And they rebuked Jesus because he said nothing to his disciples. All that Jesus did was to respond by quoting parts of their Bible to them. How David had raided the Holy of Holies of the temple and stolen the bread that was left on there as an offering to God because his people were hungry. And he couldn't see any point, the Pharisees couldn't see any point of deviating from the law. It was either black or white. There was no grey area in between. But Jesus had read the same words as the Pharisees and come to a totally different conclusion. A conclusion that contained compassion, like when he cured the woman who'd been ill for 18 years. like Nicodemus, I have difficulty with the phrase being born again. When Kath, my wife, and I decided to move nearer our children, who lived in Stockport and Liverpool, and we lived in East London, we had to decide what we were going to bring with us and what we could do without. We were downsizing, and not everything would fit from a three-bedroom terraced house into a two-bedroom bungalow. So we took the opportunity, if that's the correct word. I don't think it was an opportunity, it was something that had to be done, to see what we could bring with us and what we could get rid of if we were going to start a new life some 200 miles away, leaving friends that we had known and a house that we had known for 35 years, to live among strangers who we didn't know, may not welcome us with our funny accents and words. It was like moving and being born again into a new life. As I said, we moved to a two-bedroom bungalow. And now, that was 3 years ago, and now we have just redecorated. And it's been a case of moving from everything off the wall into one room, and then you can't put it back because it's still wet. And where do you put it when they do the next room? And half the kitchen ended up in the conservatory and half in a spare bedroom. So when I was cooking, I did a lot of walking about trying to find things that we had taken down and put somewhere else. And on top of that, we were looking after a three-year-old granddaughter who was extremely inquisitive. It was like being born again. We had the bungalow that goodness knows when it was last redecorated, so we put a new life into it. But it was still the same bungalow, regardless of what we did with the inside. We are in the period of Lent. We are looking forward once again to celebrating not only the life of Christ, but also his death, resurrection, and triumph over the grave. For me, being born again is to take a positive step, to look at what I could gain and what I could lose. It is a time when we can look at our faith and our relationship with God and assess what it means to us and be born again. Inside St. Paul's Cathedral in London, there is the famous painting Light of the World, which features Jesus carrying a lamp and knocking on a door. That is the door of our heart. The only problem is there is no handle on the outside of the door. The handle is on the inside only. The only way that Jesus can enter our lives is to be invited in. God does not force himself on us. He says, I am here. Try me and see what a difference I can make to your lives. He knocks and he keeps knocking at the door of our hearts. like Nicodemus, if we open the door of our heart, he will come in and we can be born again if we are prepared to think outside the box. He is willing, able, and extremely friendly and wishing to be a part of our lives. Amen. We come to our closing hymn, number 3, 4, 5. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? A hymn I think should be the Methodist national anthem, for want of better phrase. 3, 4, 5.
It's
chains all the good you can, by all means you can, in all ways you can, in all places you can, and at all times you can, to all people you can, as long as forever you can. Words of John Wesley. Shall we say the grace together? And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.